great things happen when you get on your knees before the Lord. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Daniel this morning. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. We are studying our Bibles about fasting and prayer. We've been talking about fasting the last couple of weeks, and we understand from the scriptures that we are in a time in our lives, in this age of the church, that we should be fasting. Our Savior has ascended up to heaven. We're waiting for the day that He'll come again, and it is a time for those who are following Jesus to be about the business of fasting and prayer. We seek God's face through fasting. We show the seriousness of our hearts and our devotion to God through fasting and prayer. And we know that we should fast privately, that fasting isn't to be a display for the world, that we would get people to look at us and think how spiritual we must be to be fasting. It's not about that. We want to fast in private. We want to fast secretly. We want to not let the world know, broadcast that to the world that we're fasting, because we want God's blessings. We don't want our reward to be the praise of men. We also understand from the Word of God that we should fast corporately. In other words, there are times in the scriptures that we see God's people being called together to a time of fasting. We're going to look at an example of that. We looked at an example of that last time. We're going to look at that later as well. But there's times that fasting is called for by the leaders. The nation was called to fast in the Old Testament. We see it in the New Testament that the church was gathered together in a couple of different places. Acts 13, Acts 14, where the church was giving their times, their lives to fasting and prayer, ministering, serving the Lord through fasting and prayer, and they were doing that corporately. They were doing that as a group. And so we understand those truths. And this morning, what time is it? Amen. Today, this morning, we want to learn from Daniel some truths about fasting and what the purpose of fasting is. And so I want to ask you, if you're able, let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. I gave the excuse up front. We had a great trip, but it was a long trip, and I am tired. And Brian started making an excuse about halfway home that he might not make it all the way through the sermon today. He'd be falling asleep. And a lot of you men know about that. It's good. Like, how many of you guys ever played golf? Like, four of you? When you get, like, you're on your way to the golf course, you start making excuses. That's what you do. I hear guys that are going to the deer woods before they ever go to their stand. They're already making excuses about why they're not going to be able to kill a deer. And men are good at that. We like to make excuses. But I'm just trusting the Lord today. I'm going to try to present God's word to you, and I'm going to trust His Spirit to do a work in our hearts today. How about that? Sound good? All right. Daniel 9 and verse 1 says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fastings and sackcloth and ashes. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace, Lord, I pray that you would help today in the preaching of your word. Lord, I am so thankful for the blessing of being able to gather together to sing your praises, to come before your throne of grace in prayer. Lord, to look into the word of God and to preach the word of God today. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would do a work in our hearts. Lord, if there's anyone among us or watching online who's never been born again, I pray today they would repent of their sin and unbelief, and they would trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, I pray for those who are saved that you would help us to be fully surrendered to you. I pray that every one of us would make the decisions that you convict our hearts about today, that by your grace and through the power of your Spirit, we would be obedient to your word. Please help me, for I'm nothing without you. We pray your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. The scriptures are full of people who were seeking after the face of God. In Psalm 22:6, it says, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. In Psalm 24 and verse 6, this is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. We are to be the generation. We are to be the people who are seeking the face of God. Psalm 119, verses 1 and 2 says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart." I pray that by the word of God today, you and I would all be challenged to seek the face of God. Too many times, I believe we are, I think it was Adrian Rogers said that we're oftentimes seeking the hand of God, but we're not seeking the face of God. What's that mean? It means that we're interested in the gifts of God. We're interested in the blessings of God. We're interested in the things that God would give us, but we're not interested in God himself. We don't want to know him, and we want to move from a people who are only interested in what God might give us at his hand, that we would be interested in him, that we would long to know him, that we would have a heart to seek him. And this was Daniel. When he read his Bible, he was reading in the book of Jeremiah, he understood that God had said, there's going to be 70 years of judgment that's going to come because you haven't honored me. And when he read that, it convicted his heart and he wanted to know more. He wanted to understand more. So he said, by the reading of the word of God, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and fasting, prayer with and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. He said, when I got in the word of God and I understood what God was doing, it made me want to know him. I wanted to know God. I wanted to know what his purposes were. I wanted to know what he was going to accomplish. We need to be people who seek the Lord, who have a desire to know him. Isaiah 9:13 says, "For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts." You see, not only do we see men who sought God's face, but we also see those who didn't seek God's face. In other words, the nation of Israel would turn away from God and they would go after idols and they would seek to satisfy their own flesh, and God would send chastisement and say, hey, you need to straighten up, you need to come back to me. And he said they wouldn't turn to me, they wouldn't seek my face, and so judgment came. And listen, God works the same way in our lives today. He works in our lives, and when we get away from him, when we turn to the right hand or to the left, we turn away from him, he brings conviction to our hearts. And when you ignore that conviction, he will bring chastisement to your life. And if we don't listen to that chastisement, friends, I promise it's going to get worse and worse and worse. He wants our attention. He wants us to look at him. Do you not do that with your kids? Hey, do you ever say anything to your children and they don't listen? No, that never happens in your house, I know. But in my house, that happens. And what do you do when one of your children, you're trying to talk to them and they're not paying attention? This could be a good time of confession for you. Some of you need to get this out and get it off your heart. What do you do? Any of you ever do this? Hey, anybody do that? Do we have any finger snappers here? Come on, let's be honest today. Hey, to this day, does that not get you? It does something in me when somebody snaps their fingers, like, ugh, gets me. How about the whistle? Any of you have the whistle? Uh-huh. Yeah. When your kids are really small and they're not paying attention, you might just grab their face and say, look at daddy. Look right here. Listen. Right? See, I was conditioned by my mother to do that. She would say, look at me, son. Look right here. And she would start talking again and I would. No, look right here. Look at mommy's eyes right here. And then I couldn't decide which eye to look at. And short attention span, and I would begin to look away again. To this day, if I'm not looking at you, I can't hear you. I can't. Like, if you're talking to me, you have to have me looking at you. I promise, if I'm not looking at you, I'm not listening. It's my mom trained me that way. You have to talk to her about it. Listen, when you want somebody to listen to you, you want them to look at your face. You want them to have their attention focused on you. And that's what God's saying. You've turned away from me. And when your eyes aren't on me, you're going to follow sin. And when your eyes aren't on me, you're going to follow yourself. When your eyes aren't on me, you're going to follow idols. You're going to end up in a bad place and bad things are going to happen. So God says, hey, look right here. God says, hey, I want your attention. And he chastises us to wake us up to get our attention. I forgot the clapping. I do that sometimes too. We do that. Your coach did that. You're out there on the court or on the field. You're not paying attention. Coach said, hey, hey. And he always says your last name, right? Stewie. Yeah. You've heard that? Takes you back, doesn't it? I know Ben's back there cringing right now. Every time somebody says McDaniel, he's like, right? I mean, that's, hey, pay attention, listen. And God's saying, look at my face. God's saying, pay attention to me. And he brings chastisement when we don't seek his face. He says, the people turn not to him that smiteth them. Who is that? That's God. Listen, what do we do with our kids? Listen, you get them to pay attention. If you keep telling them they're still not listening, then maybe there's a time of some more serious correction. And you expect them to respond to that by listening to you. How about this? Amos 5:8. Amos 5:8. He says, seek him that maketh the seven stars in Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Man, I love that verse. I love that verse. Listen, we're getting towards the fall of the year. You're going to be able to spend some nights, more nights outside. You're going to be able to see the stars. You're going to be able to see Orion in the sky. And when you look up and you see the stars and you see Orion, when you look up in the stars and you see, I don't know, the Big Dipper or whatever else you see, you remember who put that there. You remember that that's God, and you can seek his face. You can know him. He says that this is who I am, and I want you to seek him. He turns the shadow of death into the morning. He's the God that can that gives life out of death. He's the one that has control of the day and the night. He calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the face of the earth. This is God's word describing what you learned about in school as the hydrologic cycle. This is God causing evaporation and causing clouds to form and causing rain to fall on the earth, and says, God does that. And you can seek the face of the one who does those things. So seek him. Seek his face. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And God is looking for some men and women and some boys and girls today who want to know him. Jesus came and said, come and see. And Jesus came and he said, follow me, so that we could seek his face, so that we could know him face to face. So Daniel says, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek. I wanted to seek his face. I want to know him. I want to know his truth. And then he says, I did that by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Prayer and supplication are very similar words in the Hebrew, but prayer is that conversation with God. And I've had a lot of people say, Brother Isaac, I don't really know how to pray. Well, praying is talking to God. That's what it is. You don't have to do it out loud. You can do it right in here in your brain. He knows what you're thinking all the time anyway. That ought to inspire you to direct all your thoughts to God anyway. So we pray by talking to God, by directing our thoughts to God. And supplication is more of an intensified form of the idea of the word. This is an intense prayer. This is a focused prayer. This is a passionate prayer. Supplication is pleading with God, pouring your heart out with God, begging and crying out to God is the idea. So listen, this wasn't just a little rote prayer that Daniel repeated every night without any heart, without any feeling. This was something where he's pouring his heart out to God. He's seeking God's face. And he did this with fasting. He did this with sackcloth and ashes. This indicates that when he prayed, he did so with faith because he was trusting God. It indicates that he did it with fervency because he was passionate about it, and he was willing to give up food in order to get closer to God. Fasting, by definition, is going without food for spiritual purposes. Everybody get that? Fasting is going without food for spiritual purposes. And it indicates a seriousness, a fervency in our prayers. So he had faith, he had fervency, and there was a forsaking of self. You'll read this in your Bible sometimes about sackcloth and ashes. Sackcloth, we don't really have a lot of that today. Like, our goal in life is to find whatever is the most comfortable thing in the world we can to wear. Can I get an amen? How many of you have arrived there? Can I just see your hands? Because some of you are young enough, like you still want to, you care about more about how it looks than how it feels. But you're going to come to a place in your life that you're going to be far more concerned about things like elastic in the waist. We call it our stretchy pants. Because there comes a time in a man's life when he needs stretchy pants. Thanksgiving comes to mind, and then every day. We're concerned about being comfortable. But Daniel was concerned about knowing God. And along with the fasting, he wasn't looking to make himself comfortable. He did what Ezra said. We set a fast before God. I proclaimed a fast before the river Ahava that we might afflict ourselves. You see, fasting is not about doing what's comfortable. Fasting is about what's doing what's uncomfortable in order to show God the seriousness. You're afflicting yourself to show how serious you are. So sackcloth, the best way I've heard it described is like an old potato sack. Does anybody remember the old potato sacks? Anybody ever get in one and hop in it? That's the only way you could do a sack race. You had to have the old burlap potato sack. That's how you did it. And listen, that's the idea. This is, it's a rough kind of clothing. It's a rough kind of cloth. It's not comfortable. It was probably very stiff and very itchy and very awful to wear. Probably like some wool sweaters you got when you were a kid. Anybody remember those? Awful, itchy, smelly, just horrible to wear. It was probably like that, only worse. And he did that. And then he sat in ashes. And you might remember, the one you'll probably remember most is, you remember when Job had lost everything that he had, and then God allowed Satan to strike him with sickness, and he was covered with boils from head to toe. You remember that? And he said he sat in ashes. In other words, he was in misery, and he literally just sat where there was a fire and where there were ashes, and he covered himself with those ashes in his misery just to show how terrible he was, how heartbroken he was, and his outward appearance matched how he felt on the inside. Now, when we're talking about fasting today, normally, we're not going to do that. Normally, we're going to anoint ourselves. Normally, we're going to get up, get cleaned up, and we're not going to show the world that we're fasting. It's going to be private. It's going to be secret. But I'm telling you that there will come times in your life when you are so broken and you are so desperate and you are so in a heartache that it doesn't matter anymore how you look. It doesn't matter anymore what's going on. Your outward appearance doesn't matter anymore. And you will go without a shower, and you will go without food, and you'll go without drink, and you will be in such a place of desperation seeking God that this outward stuff doesn't matter anymore. Comfort doesn't matter anymore. All that matters is you need God and you need His help, and you're desperately crying out for it. Now, some of you have been there. And when you were in that place of desperation, when you no longer care what you look like and you no longer care, all of these outward things don't matter anymore, I'm telling you, when you're there, God was there with you. And He was there with Job all the way. And so this is the condition of Daniel. Nothing else matters now but seeking God. And we need to have that kind of heart. Now I want you to look at how he prayed. He prayed with confession. Can you find verse 4? And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from Thy precepts and from Thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto Thy servants, the prophets, which spake in Thy name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and to all the people of the land. I want you to notice how he prayed with his prayer and supplication. He started with confession. He started with confession. I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. When we confess, when we look to the New Testament, the word literally means to say the same thing. We confess, what we're doing is we are agreeing with God that what He says is true. But this word confession in the Old Testament is a little different. This word confession in the Old Testament literally means to throw or to cast off. This idea of confession means that we're taking the sin where we've gone against the Word of God and we're saying, I'm done with this. I don't want it anymore. Everybody understand? Have you ever got to that place in your life? That you've struggled with some sin and you struggle with it and you fall down and you get back up and you fall down and you get back up and it's just got control of you and you get to a place you say, I'm done with this. I don't want it anymore. That's what this confession is. It's really interesting, though, because this word is also used in the idea of thanksgiving to God. I want you to hold your place right here, but look over at 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 33. 1 Kings 8:33. This confession is just an awesome idea. Not only are we throwing it off, we're getting rid of something, but it also, just in the word itself, recognizes the goodness of God, and we have some thanksgiving when we confess before God. 1 Kings 8:33. He says, when thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee, and confess thy name, and pray, and make supplication unto thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. When heaven is shut up, and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon thy land which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. Notice the confession here. They're confessing the name of God. It's not just a throwing off of sin, but it's a lifting up of the name of God. It's lifting up His name in confession that, God, You're God. We're wicked, but You're holy. We've done wickedly, but You are good. We're bad, You are awesome. That's what we're saying when we confess. And so we go back to our text. He says in verse 4, He prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful, or the great and awesome God, keeping covenant and mercy with them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments. So he talks about the power of God. He talks about the character of God. But then he talks about the wickedness of man. He said, we are sinful and we are rebellious. And I want you to notice this in verse 5. How is it that we sin? What defines our iniquity? What is it that makes it true when we say someone's done wickedly or somebody has rebelled? What are we saying? Well, it's when we go away from the precepts and the judgments of God. That's what defines what is right and true. Does everybody get this? Listen, society doesn't get to decide what's right and true. God says what's right and true. And when we depart from what God says, that's sin. That's iniquity. That's wickedness. That's rebellion. It's always about going away from the Word of God. So why is it so important that we get that? Because what I want to stand here and preach is, thus saith the Lord. And what you need to go home and read every day of your life is, thus saith the Lord. We need to know what His word says. We need to know what His truth says, because His truth is the only truth. And we want to hear His word and keep it so we can be wise and build our lives on the rock. Because trouble's going to come, friends, and we want to be built on the rock of the word of God. Look at verse 7. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belongeth mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against Him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in His laws, which He set before us by His servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured out upon us, and the oath that was written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against Him. And He hath confirmed His words, which He spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem, as it is written in the law of Moses. All this evil has come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. I want you to get it. As he's pouring out his prayers, he keeps praying for our sin. He says, we have sinned. He's making confession about his own sin, but Daniel's praying for the sin of the whole nation. What did Daniel do wrong? Listen, Daniel was there when Babylon came. He was taken away as a slave. He was carried away, kidnapped from Jerusalem and taken to Babylon. He was there as a slave in the land, and he was faithful to God. But Daniel was not a sinless man. He was faithful, and he was close to God, and the Spirit of God was in him, but he desperately needed God's forgiveness, no matter how good he was. Everybody get that? And when he confessed, he had no trouble confessing the sin of the nation. He was going to seek God's face through fasting and prayer. Hey, grab your bulletin real quick. If you don't mind, you got a bulletin this morning? On the inside of your bulletin, on the left-hand page. I love how God works. I know that the last few weeks we've been talking about fasting and prayer. And then I noticed a lot of my friends on Facebook that I haven't talked to, and a lot of other pastors have been bringing up this topic of fasting and prayer. And then the American Baptist Association just this week called for a day of prayer and fasting on this Thursday, the 19th. I'm so encouraged by that. Because listen, everybody's recognizing something. We need, as a people, to seek God's face through fasting and prayer. We need it. And people are seeing it. God's people are seeing the need. And you notice there, this Thursday should be a day of fasting and prayer. And I asked you last Sunday to make fasting a part of your week every week. Now maybe you can only skip one meal, or maybe you fast for a couple of meals, or maybe you set a time that you fast from the morning until the evening, or maybe you fast all day or for 2 days. I don't know, but I'm asking you as a church that you would be committed to spend time fasting at least one day every week. That would be who we are as a people. And I'm going to continue to give you that challenge. But this week, I want to ask you to be a part of this day of fasting and prayer on Thursday. There's a list there of things that we would pray for while we're fasting. We would pray for this pandemic to end. That we would pray for those who are sick to be healed. That we would pray for God to protect those who have family members who are sick. That we would pray for our leaders to make wise decisions. That we would pray for the salvation of the lost. That we would pray for God to bring revival to our nation. That we would pray for churches to be strengthened. And we would pray for God to get glory through it all. That's a pretty good prayer list. But I want to ask you to take your pen out. And I want to ask you to write this in at the top of the list. I want you to just write the word confession. Write the word confession. I look at Daniel's prayer for his nation. And Daniel didn't start with heal our land. Daniel didn't start with take away the trouble that we're in. Daniel didn't start with take us back to our homeland. Daniel didn't start with rebuild the city and the wall. He didn't start with rebuild the temple. Lord, take us back to the land you promised us. Lord, bless our flocks and our herds. Lord, bless us with rain that our crops will grow. Bless our families that they can multiply. He didn't start with all that. He started with confession because he understood something. His nation was in the place they were in because of their sin. And you need to understand something today. America is in the condition that we're in today because of our sin. It's because of us. It's because of our wickedness. It's because of our iniquity. It's because we have rebelled against the word of God that sin has come. And you could sit in your place this morning and you'd say, well, what have I done? I've been faithful to God. I've prayed. I've gone to church. I've sang praises to Jesus. I've tried to be a witness for him. What have I done wrong? And I might ask you today, what did Daniel do wrong? What had he done? And yet he got on his face before God in fasting and prayer and supplication and in sackcloth and ashes. And he says, God, I have sinned against you. God, we have sinned against you. And he owned the sin of his nation. And you and I need to own the sin of this nation. We need to stop being so pharisaical. We need to stop being so prideful. We need to stop being so arrogant. And we need to understand that we are sinners too. And we could sit here in judgment on Hollywood. And we could sit here in judgment on Washington, D.C. But what we need to understand, it's because of our sin and our iniquity that judgment has come to our nation today. And we are guilty too. And where we ought to be is fasting and in prayer and supplication. We ought to seek God's face and we ought to be on our knees before him, asking for his forgiveness, asking him to help us because we have sinned against our holy God. I want to tell you today that the confession needs to be first. And I'm thankful for this day of fasting and prayer. And don't get the idea that I'm trying to be critical of whoever made this prayer list. I think it's a great prayer list. And I think you ought to pray every one of those things. And when you get done praying through those things, I think you ought to go back and pray it again and pray it again and pray it again. There's something in the Bible that could be said about repetition. I don't know what else to pray, preacher. You want us to pray? Sometimes we'll ask you to pray for an hour. You're like, I don't know what to pray for an hour. I can't pray for an hour. Well, just pray it again. Pray it again. Listen, we've sinned it over and over again. We probably ought to confess it over and over again. But we are desperately in need of God's forgiveness. So that's a great prayer list. But I want to encourage you to start with confession. And what we ought to confess is our personal and our national sin before God. And so he's praying and he gives this contrast in verses 7 through 10. He said, God, you are righteous and you have mercies and forgiveness, but we are shameful. That's what he means by this word that he uses a couple of times here of confusion. He says we have confusion of face. That means shame. We are shameful before you, God. And he says you are righteous and mercies and you have forgiveness, but we are shameful and we are unfaithful and we are sinners and we are rebellious and we are disobedient. And in verses 11 through 14, he points back and says, God, you've just done what you said you would do. We're in captivity today. We're in the condition that we're in because we disobeyed you, and you did exactly what you said you would do if we disobeyed you. If you want to write down these notes, Leviticus chapter 26, Leviticus chapter 26, Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you want to go back and study those out, you can see this is the oath that was written. This is the word that God confirmed. It was what he had written, and they had not obeyed, and God did exactly what he said he was going to do. And by the way, God is always going to be in the business of doing exactly what God says he's going to do. So put yourself in a place to have the blessing of God. So he starts with confession in verses 4 through 14, but then check out verse 15. There's still going to be some confession mixed in here, but this is where he starts his supplication. There's confession. He's seeking the Lord by prayer and supplication. There's confession, and then there's supplication, pleading with God for help. Verse 15, O Lord God, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has gotten thee renown, as at this day. We have sinned. We have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain. Because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear thy prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Listen, Daniel's heart was the heart of every person, you look at the Bible, and you see somebody, and you say, that was a great man of God. That was a great woman of God. Every one of them, listen, every one of them always were more concerned about the name of God than they were anything else. God, for your name's sake, you've called us your people, so be merciful to us. Don't destroy us utterly, but be merciful to us. Restore us, because you are merciful. That's who you are, God, and we belong to you. It's your city. It's your mountain. It's your people. God, be merciful. Let your anger and fury be turned away. Cause your face to shine. Cause your face to shine upon the sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. He pleads with God. And look what he says in verse 19 again. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. And when we pray, and when we fast, we look to God and we plead with God. God, please hear us. When we confess, we say, God, please forgive us. And when we pray, we say, God, please hear us and do what only you can do. We need God to do a work in our nation today. He confesses, then he pours his heart out to God, asking for God not to wait any longer, but to help. When you watch the news and you hear about violent protests and you hear about another riot and you hear about another mass shooting and you hear about another drug deal gone wrong, and you read about another child that was kidnapped and another person who was kidnapped and murdered, like you could just go read the news and see the horror that's going on in our country, instead of just being disgusted by it, instead of being depressed about it, instead of giving up, what we ought to do is go to God in fasting and prayer, and we ought to say, God, help our nation. Because I want you to know something today. Are you ready? I'm almost done. This is really important you get this. There is hope. God sent Israel into captivity for 70 years, but he said, I will bring you home again. I will restore you to your place. I will take you back to a place of victory. And I believe when you study your Bible, the promised land is not really a picture of heaven. The promised land is a picture of the victorious Christian life. And there is hope for the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ today. There is hope for the disciples of Jesus Christ today. There is hope for the nations in which we live. There's hope. Listen to me. Some of you older fellows need to wake up and listen right now. There's hope for America today. There's hope for our nation to turn back to God today. Tell me one more time about how it used to be in the 50s. Tell me one more time about how good it was in the good old days. I'm telling you that God has greater things in store. It can be better tomorrow than it ever was in the past. Stop giving up. Stop being depressed. Stop being down. There is hope for you. There's hope for your family. There's hope for this community. There's hope for Oklahoma. There's hope for the United States of America. There is hope for this world today. And that hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when God's people will get on their faces before the holy God of heaven and say, oh God, hear us. Oh God, forgive us. Oh God, help us. He will bless. There is hope. So stop giving up hope. If the hope's in you, then we ought to quit today. If the hope's in the Capitol in Oklahoma, we can go ahead and give up today. If the hope's in the White House, you could give up today. But our hope is not there. Our hope is on the throne in heaven. And he sits on the throne of every heart who believes in him. So our business is to do the work that he called us to do, to make disciples, and he can change the world. And he desires to change the world through us. We need to be faithful. We need to stop being so negative. You hear me? Stop being so negative. If I want negative, I'll go watch the news. We don't need that junk here. All the negative, all that is, it ought to be just something to pray about. That's all it is. It's not something to complain about, gripe about, cry about, get mad about. Pray about it. And then go do the thing that God called you to do. Verse 20. I told you I was almost done. That's a relative term. I'm almost more done than I was when I started. Just four more verses. Can you hang with me for four more verses? Thank you for that one amen. All the rest of you just, I don't know, repent. All right, here we go. Verse 20. I appreciate the way he talks. I mean, I know it's translated into English from Hebrew, but and whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God and for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Do you get that? While he was praying, God was sending an answer. But I believe this with all my heart. No praying, no answer. How many times have you seen it in the scriptures? You look at it and you'll read this. While I was praying, while the words were yet in my mouth, God was answering, God was working. God just wants us to be obedient. He says, pray, so pray. He says, fast, so fast. And when we fast and when we pray and we seek him in prayer and supplication, God is already waiting to answer. Do you get it? He had Gabriel on standby. He gave him a vision. Gabriel comes back. I gave him the vision, Lord, and he's just waiting. And God's watching. And the second Daniel started praying, he said, go. Isn't that good? Do you realize that whatever you're worried about today, God's got something? He's just waiting. He's watching you. Well, when are you going to pray? I'm watching. I'm waiting. And that's what he said back in here. The reason we're in the mess we're in is because we didn't pray. You remember reading that a few verses back? He says, listen, when God began to chastise us, we didn't pray. We didn't seek God's face. And so that's why we're in the mess we're in. And so what God's people have been doing for decades in America, we've been watching our nation crumble around us. And we go, man, this is terrible. I can't believe how bad it is. You remember the good old days? And all the while, God's been saying, wake up. Pray. I've got an answer. I've got a solution. I've got some truth that will help you. And we just don't pray. And I wonder today, if God's not sitting in heaven waiting for somebody in this room to start fasting and praying, I wonder today if God has not had a legion of angels just on standby, and he's just waiting. He's waiting. It reminds me of when he dares you to give. You remember that in Malachi? Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, that if you'll give to the storehouse of God, that if he does, he won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. You remember that? I wonder if it's not like that. Like God's just saying, I dare you. I dare you fast and pray. Go for it. See what I won't do. But I think that our problem is, friends, we don't believe. And he calls us to believe. He calls us to faith. While I was speaking, at the beginning of your supplication, the commandment came forth, and I'm now come forth to give. I'm going to give you something, Daniel. I'm going to give you skill and understanding. I'm going to show you, and I want you to notice why he's going to do it in verse 23. For thou art greatly beloved. Hey, let me ask you a question. I'm going to go ahead and ask our musicians to come. Get ready. You see this right here? Thou art greatly beloved. Was that true of Daniel? Who loved him? God did. The reason I'm answering your prayer, Daniel, is because I love you. Let me ask you a question. Is this true of you? Is there anybody in this room that phrase isn't true for? I'm asking a question. Are you loved by God today? But he didn't just say love. He said greatly loved. If you have any question about whether God loves you today, I invite you to look to Calvary, because God so loved the world. In his great love wherewith he loved us, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ loves you greatly today. And he wants to bless you, and he wants to help you, and he wants to give you truth to help you through your circumstances. Daniel didn't go home the next day. Daniel spent decades and decades and decades in Babylon. But God gave him truth that gave him strength to get through his circumstances and to be faithful to God in his circumstances. And God will do that for you too. This morning I want to ask you to stand. We call this an invitation. What that means is this is a time for you to respond to God's invitation from his word, from his Holy Spirit. There might be somebody in this room today or watching online, and you've never been born again. Right now, you know if you died and God gave you justice, you'd end up in hell forever. But God loves you so much that Jesus died for you, and you can repent. You can turn from your sin and change your mind, and you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will forgive you. He will save you today. Maybe today you're saved. Maybe today you've got a burden for your family. Maybe today you've got a burden for this church. Maybe you've got a burden for our community, our state, for our nation. Maybe you have a burden today and you would say, I want to seek God's face in prayer and supplication. Maybe today. You don't need to wait till Thursday. Maybe right now you want to start by getting on your knees and saying, God, forgive us. We have sinned. Be merciful to us today. If he's convicting your heart, I invite you to come right down here right now and pray and seek God's face in prayer and supplication while we sing.